The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Highway to Health. I am your host, David Sears. And, you know, one of the things about health that tends to stumble the most for people, or people tend to stumble the most over, like I just stumbled over my words, is nutrition. People want to go on these fad diets. People want to do anything possible to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. But is that really possible? Well, today we are lucky to be joined by Lee Baxter, a nutritionist whom I've had personal experience with, and she's helped cultivate some nutrition plans for me. So, Lee, welcome to Highway to Health.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So let's get a little background on you. How did you get into the nutrition field, and how long have you been a nutritionist?
So I got interested in it. I guess my mom always kind of made us eat healthy growing up, and so I knew it was important. I started realizing it was more important in like high school playing sports, and I was like, oh, this is important. You know, if I want to like perform better, I should be eating better and not just total junk food like most high schoolers eat, or they did when we were growing up. And then when I went to college, I had a different major originally, but I was still like, you know, trying to eat healthy and exercise and do all these things. And one of my best friends to this day was like, I think you need to change your major and be a dietitian. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that sounds like a really fun job. I'd rather do that than what I was like, what I originally signed up for. I hadn't even considered it as like a job path. So she and I are both dietitians now.
So is there a difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian?
Yes. So a dietitian is somebody who has a 4-year degree, like a bachelor's in dietetics and nutrition. And then they also now mandated it where you have to have a master's as well. And I think that went into effect like last year or the year before. But most dietitians you'll meet will have a master's. They'll either have a master's of public health was offered at my school, or a master's of science in nutrition. So dietitians will have a couple different degrees. A nutritionist will, but there's not really a certain certification. Like, it's a little bit more ambiguous as to what kind of education level they have on it. So
you went to four years of undergrad and minimum of 2 years to get a master's. Okay. So you've got the schooling to back up all the knowledge you've got there, or acquire all the knowledge you've got there.
Yes. Yes. And then I went to a healthy culinary school in New York for about a year. That program was really fun. Just kind of a whole different world of, you know, learning how to cook, you know, do certain like cooking methods and, you know, just more like niche healthy foods that we don't necessarily have access to or not cooked with as much in Alabama, or like weren't at that time, like that many years ago. So that was an interesting experience as well. But yeah, definitely got to go to school and get your degrees and then get licensed in the state that you want to practice in. And so I'm licensed in Kentucky and Alabama and Florida.
Nice. So.
Yeah.
Multi-state empire, I see, for Lee Baxter Nutrition.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, if you've got connections in certain states, you should absolutely practice in them. And, you know, and telehealth has made all this so much more accessible and easy. So it's really nice. You can meet with people before work, on their lunch break, after work, whenever people want to meet. So it's great.
Awesome. Now, we hear you have to eat healthy. You have to eat portion control, all this. To you, what is a true nutritional diet plan?
So the best nutritional diet plan is calorie controlled, right? Like, people try to knock calorie counting, but to an extent, you know, you have to be in a calorie deficit, right, to lose weight.
more calories going out than coming in, right?
Right, right. But the way that you're achieving the calorie deficit and how comfortable you are and how healthy that calorie deficit is can be like wildly different. You want your calorie deficit or calorie controlled diet to also have your macronutrients balanced in a healthy way, right? You're getting plenty of protein, you're including healthy fat, you're including high fiber carbohydrates regularly. And if you're doing those things, then it's much easier to control your calories that you're intaking, right? Because fiber keeps you fuller longer, protein keeps you fuller longer, healthy fat keeps you fuller longer. So a lot of patients come back to me, you know, after we started making changes, and they're like, Lee, I'm just not that hungry. Like, I don't even know that I can meet my calorie goal. And I'm like, that's great. Like, you know, you're full off an appropriate amount of calories and you're losing weight. Like, what's better than that, you know? So that's really the most appropriate diet for most people out there, looking to get healthy, lose a few pounds, or, you know, just maintain your weight, but, you know, maybe lean out a little bit, have a little bit more muscle mass, a little less body fat. But definitely macronutrient balanced meal plan.
All right.
Is your best option.
So everyone is different. Would the sure. macronutrients vary person to person? Like one person needs more protein because they're more of a meat person than a vegetable person, or one person's more of a carb person than a meat person, or is it pretty much there's a set number we should all aspire to reach each day?
No, it definitely varies on the person and varies by the activity level as well. You know, if you're a little less active, you can eat a few less carbohydrates. You know, you don't want to do too few. We need to be reaching our fiber goals. But somebody who's extremely active, you know, running, playing tennis, lifting, you know, weights or doing like high intensity interval training, those kinds of things, those people probably need a few more carbohydrates to properly fuel their exercise and feel their best and perform their best with their exercises.
So what would you say about 40% carbohydrate, 35% protein, 25% fat?
Yeah, 40 carbs, give or take. You know, you can adjust that, you know, 5% here and there. You can go up to 50% carbs, 20% protein, 30% fat, or 40% carbs, 30% protein, 30% fat is the one that I like. I think that's a good balance for most people generally.
Awesome. So as we see, we're in the day of South Beach diet, keto diet, Atkins diet, all these fad diets saying they'll help you lose weight. What is the best diet to have that will actually give you the results you want? And is it possible to lose 30 pounds in 30 days healthily?
It is possible to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. That is not healthy because you are starving off more than likely. You may be, depending on how much you weigh, you could be losing a lot of body water, but you are starving off lean mass. And so you are lowering your metabolic rate. So if you, whatever you're doing, like not eating carbs for 30 days to lose 30 pounds quickly, at the end of those 30 days, when you start eating carbohydrates again, then you're down, you know, then your metabolic rate is even lower than where you started. You're going to put that weight back on typically pretty quickly. And then you're in a worse place than you were, less muscle mass, more body fat, in a worse ratio than where you started. So best diet is, you know, I know it's boring to hear, but a lot of people just don't understand how to achieve this, is something that you are able to maintain for a long period of time with enough flexibility that you've established for yourself, where you can lose 1 to 2 pounds a week. When you're doing that, you're losing mostly body fat, right? Mm-hmm. You're able to like go on vacation. Maybe, you know, you don't lose that 1 or 2 pounds a week, but you haven't swung up wildly 5 or 10 pounds because you started eating carbohydrates again, right? Mm-hmm. The Mediterranean diet is, in my opinion, you know, the healthiest long-term meal plan to stick with. And you can absolutely hit your protein, your fiber goals, your healthy fat goals. It's a little more anti-inflammatory friendly, which is, you know, popular right now as well, but that's like popular in a good way for a good reason. And you're not taking out food groups when you're following that meal plan either. You know, it's always kind of sticky when you're taking out major like macronutrient groups or, you know, taking out whole things, because that's usually not sustainable for most people, right?
So like that, these low carb diets that help you lose weight, eventually your body makes you want to have carbs again, or is it possible to stay low carbon in, was it ketosis? Is that what they're saying, shooting for?
Yeah. Well, low carb and keto is a little different. Low carb, you're eating a few more carbohydrates than what you would need to be like so low to stay in ketosis. It's just most people can't stay in ketosis, like, because it's such a low amount of carbohydrates. But low carb, you definitely could maintain that. And some people do. It's just most people don't. And, you know, I talk to people all the time. They're like, well, I lost 40 pounds. And I was like, oh, what were you doing? Low carb. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, how long were you able to maintain that? And they were like, you know, a year or 6 months or whatever. And then they're back to where they started. Mm-hmm. But again, they've starved off muscle mass in the meantime. And again, what did that really accomplish in the long run? Because, you know, large weight swings are not healthy either. So,
the again, yo-yo dieting.
Yeah, we can absolutely reduce carbs, and that's usually a goal of mine. You know, people are eating way too many of them, but, you know, you don't have to limit them as much as some people want to. But of course, like, you know, we get into all that in nutrition counseling. It's like high fiber carbs versus like high sugar carbs,
a high fiber carb would be a complex carb, correct?
Correct.
So you want more complex carbs than simple carbs, the high sugar ones, right?
Correct. Yes. And, you know, and how that makes you feel, you know, stabilizing your blood sugar, helping with digestion, helping you keep your cholesterol levels in check as well. And so it's just like achieving a balance, but that's like also part of how the Mediterranean meal plan kind of fits into that, you know, macronutrient balance. Moderate protein, moderate carbs, including healthy fats. You've got plenty of fiber in there. Boom. You know, like, we don't have to make it that complicated. But a lot of people just don't know how to how to apply these concepts to their meals and snacks that they're making day to day. And that's where, you know, you were asking, why do people need to work with a nutritionist or a dietitian? That's why. Like, if you don't have the background nutrition knowledge, obviously you're going to learn a lot in your sessions. Just why is fiber important? Where does it come from? Like, what foods are high in fiber? And then also, okay, how am I going to reach my daily fiber goal of 25 grams of fiber, 30 grams of fiber? And it's by including fiber at every meal and every snack, right?
Do those drop as you lose weight? Do you continue, like, do you readjust your protein, fiber, and carbohydrate percentages?
Your macros, definitely. I usually recalculate those about every like 20 pounds lost. Is typically when I'll say, oh, we need to recalculate this. Fiber, that's just a standing recommendation. Men, 31 to 38 grams a day. Women under 50, 25 grams a day. Women over 50, 21 grams of fiber a day are those recommendations. And, you know, that's one of the most important things for your long-term health that you can do, is be hitting your fiber goals. Again, because you're addressing like three major things. And not only that, you know, your fiber foods, your fruits and vegetables, right? So you're going to get the anti-inflammatory benefit bonus. And those are naturally lower, no sodium foods. So you're getting that bonus as well. Usually higher in potassium. Just a lot going on with fiber that people need to know. And
Fiber's underrated and underappreciated is what you're saying?
People are, you know, adding it to every food now. Like, you'll see it in Olipops have up to, like, 10 grams of fiber. It's definitely becoming more trendy, and I'm so glad because, you know, people – I think that's one thing that could really, like, move mountains for public health if that was a big initiative. It's, like, educating the public on fiber, but –
Now, another part we see a lot of fiber is you have to increase your water intake with the fiber. So what would you say would be the recommended 12, 8-ounce glasses water a day? Is that universal, or is that more just a starting point?
That's a jumping off point for sure. It's about half of your, you know, half your body weight in ounces, and then you should add like eight to 16 ounces for every 20 minutes of exercise. And you can even go up from there. You know, like, we live in Birmingham. It's super hot and humid in the summertime. If you're doing any kind of outdoor activity or just like your day-to-day activity, if you're spending any time outside, an extra like 8-16 ounces of water will absolutely benefit you. But yeah, so like a, I don't know, 130-pound person, let's see.
So that'd be 65 ounces of water.
Yeah, but plus, that's where it works out.
And then plus the additional for being outside and exercising. Gotcha.
Like your activity level, even a little bit extra for like caffeine. But okay, let's say this is like a 200-pound man. So then it's like, you know, 90-100 ounces of water plus more for your activity. But yeah, I mean, yes, you need to increase your fiber intake slowly because you don't want to have any kind of digestive upset, and increase your water intake and making sure you're plenty hydrated as well. Yes.
Now, when we look at our perfect plate, let's say you're going to make me a plate for dinner. What should the portions of the carbs, the proteins, the fruits and vegetables, how should that all break down?
By like measurement or by just looking at the plate? Like, we're just building a plate.
Let's say I don't have any measurement tools with me. What's the best way to gauge what a healthy plate would look like?
Yeah, definitely surface area. Half of it should be those non-starchy vegetables. So those, you know, the vegetables that are higher water content, mostly water and fiber.
Are you a raw or cooked veggie, or both good?
Both are fine. And eat them, you know, half your plate should be them. But I mean, yes, the serving size for cooked vegetables is a little smaller than raw, but at the end of the day, you know, half your plate should be those. And, you know, any of your salad greens, field greens, cruciferous vegetables, you know, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, tomatoes, cucumber, zucchini, squash, yellow squash. And then about a fourth of your plate should be your protein, you know, 3 to 5 or 6 ounces, depending on how big a person you are. And then 1/4 should be the starch portion. So potatoes, rice, I really encourage beans or other, you know, starchy vegetables that are higher in fiber, like beans, English peas, corn, butternut squash, like your winter autumn squashes. Mm-hmm. And the beans I really kind of push because you've got the extra fiber and more protein than, say, like your potatoes.
So, or like, would refried beans count, or are those? Or,
yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Right. What about like lentils, beans? What are lentils?
Lentils are like bean adjacent. They have more fiber and more protein than your other beans like pintos, black-eyed peas, garbanzo beans. Those, you can kind of use those as your protein and starchy vegetable together because they are higher in protein and fiber. But you could use those, you could do a fourth of your plate lentils and you're just going to get extra protein and extra fiber. That's one of the, one of the best foods you can eat as well. And those are becoming more popular too, so that's good. You
Well, I
get them
noticed
at
the little packs at Aldi's when I went there. They've got the pre-made lentils. You just squeeze out of the pack, heat up, or you throw in the microwave like the microwave broccoli, heat them up, and squeeze them out the pack.
so easy. Yes, they have the same thing at Trader Joe's. I've gotten canned lentils before, and I will say like those were not my favorite, but if you like them and that's a super convenient way to consume them. But there's tons of recipes out there for like, French lentils and you cook them or they're great in soups. Maybe not when it's 95 degrees, but later in the year.
Now, what would you say? You work in Birmingham. I work
Yes.
about 35 minutes outside of Birmingham. I can make the runs to the healthier grocery stores and such. If you're stuck to just a Walmart or a Winn-Dixie, that's all you got in your town because you're in a small rural part of America. What would some of the healthier options be at some of those smaller stores that may not be able to get the fancy vegetables and fancy quinoas and such that you can get at healthier food stores or health food stores in your bigger cities?
Yeah, you don't have to get the fancy stuff. I mean, your basics is what you need. The other stuff is like fun additions, like high protein cereal and those kinds of things. But really, at the end of the day, I'm from a small town and go back and grocery shop, in a town of 7,000 people with my parents and see what's available. There's a super Walmart and a Kroger. You can get salmon there, frozen or fresh. Any kind of, I mean, there's tons of different frozen seafood options, but plenty of meat, lean protein options. And then you're always going to have rice, like dried rice, dried beans available. And then your fruits and vegetable selection may not be the best, but nothing that I listed in that non-starchy vegetable group was anything that wouldn't be available at any Walmart in America, right? Broccoli, frozen or fresh, salad greens, tomatoes, I mean, maybe not in season all the time, but carrots, kale, there's so much available now because of our food system the way it is. You can, again, you're not going to get maybe the fanciest brands and I mean, even organic is available there, thinking about it. But you don't have to have anything fancy to follow, the plate of half non-starchy vegetables, a serving of protein, and a serving of starch.
Now we've talked about starches, we've talked about fiber. Let's get to protein. Now, red meat, yay, nay, moderation, what's your take on that?
Moderation and trying to go for the leaner cuts. Again, especially when you're watching calories. I know now there can be like a there's like a bigger push for more saturated fats or more fats in general, but I think it's important to recognize that most people in this country are consuming way too many calories in a day. And so choosing the leaner portions of meat or leaner cuts of meat is going to help people stay within their, appropriate calorie range. And not only that, if you're wanting to increase your fat intake because it's going to help you stay fuller longer, I would most certainly recommend your nuts and seeds, your avocado, maybe adding in extra olive oil, versus getting a big ribeye, over a tenderloin, right?
Yes, ma'am.
If you're, that's definitely my take. And then, I mean, yeah, but 2 to 3, times a week, mix it up. It is good for your iron levels. But mix in your poultry, mix in your seafood as you can. Everything.
Go ahead.
Everything in moderation is what I was getting to.
All right. Now, what should we shoot for when it comes to seafood? I've heard you're supposed to eat seafood or good fatty fish, wild caught fish, about 3 to 4 times a week. Is that something we should shoot for with fish, or does it vary?
The recommendation was 2 times a week, just because you want to, you know, there always is a concern with like mercury levels, you know, when it comes to seafood. So that's what I usually recommend. And again, now there's so much, you know, all the seafood that we get where we live has been frozen. So it's really easy to get frozen fish, thaw it out, you know, during the day and then cook it for dinner, especially in like an air fryer. But cod, salmon, tuna, sardines, you know, all those are available at most grocery stores, you know, in frozen forms, maybe not like fresh sardines, of course, but like you can get the canned ones, in most places. But salmon's, you know, super popular now, and there's so many delicious recipes out there on the internet, and it takes 15 minutes in the air fryer. You know, it doesn't get much easier than that, and you can put together your salad or your vegetables while that's in the air fryer, and you've got a super easy weeknight dinner, you know?
What should we aim for with the healthy fat versus the unhealthy fat? Was it the LDL versus HDL cholesterol and all that triglycerides and all of that?
Yeah. When I counsel patients, I set the goal of making sure, you know, you always want to like add and not take away. So my goal is, you know, making sure they're choosing lean proteins all the time, whether it's, you know, lean dairy, like Greek yogurt or cottage cheese, or like, you know, not eating too much like full fat cheese in general, but choosing your leaner cuts of meat and then making sure you're including your healthy fats, at least like 1 good serving a day, if not more than that. So like, are you having nuts and seeds most days of the week? If yes, good. If not, that needs to be the goal for this time. And then are you including fatty fish at least a couple times a week? Those are kind of the, like how I counsel and have people be including more healthy fats. And then again, when you're starting to choose those lean proteins, the saturated fat decreases in the diet.
Which nuts are best for you? Is just eating peanuts, or do you have to have a more specific type of nut?
Walnuts are going to be your like highest omega nut, but you know, your tree nuts, almonds, pistachios, I can encourage a variety. Pistachios are going to be like the lowest fat, like higher, not necessarily higher protein, but just lowest fat. So it's like lower calories. Almonds are great. Macadamias are, you know, a little higher in fat, but they're delicious, you know, and they all have different nutrient values, but I'd encourage patients to get a mixture or just like mix up what they're buying. But definitely trying to include walnuts as you can. But just watching your portion size, you know, like 2 tablespoons, not exceeding like 1/4 of a cup, is generally a good guideline for that.
Do you like the prepackaged 100 calorie packets of nuts? Are those the best way to go?
Love those. Love the ones that are like, even the ones with the little dried fruit in there, like that's a good snack you can also do, and those end up being like 150 to 200 calories. Those can be okay too. You know, just kind of depends on, yeah, some people have trouble moderating portion sizes of nuts because it's such a convenient food, and so they just tend to overeat them. So the little prepackages are super helpful. But yeah, I like all those pre-done portion sizes for you. That goes for most things too. Anything that's comes portion sizes, most people appreciate, like 100 calorie packs of nuts or 100 calorie packs of popcorn, you know, anything like that is going to be.
When we look at stuff, you talk about, I like to add rather than subtract. if someone were to come to you, I can't eat healthy, I love pizza too much, or I love ice cream too much, how would you approach them to help them get to where they'd start eating better?
For those specific things, say, well, would you be willing to try like a high protein pizza crust, you know, making some different versions of healthy pizzas at home? You know, I made and posted like those cottage cheese crust pizzas a couple months ago. They were fantastic. But like, you know, at Publix, they sell like high protein pizza crusts and they're like individually portioned. You know, the crust itself is like 20 grams of protein. And so if you do that with red sauce and a little bit of like low fat mozzarella cheese, and then, you know, whatever kind of lean meat, veggie protein you want to throw on top, you know, that's like 40 grams of protein. So there's like, now there's just so many healthy alternatives. It's like, you can still eat your pizza and also meet your protein and fiber goals. With the ice cream, same thing. Now there's, you know, Yasso bars that are 100 calories. It's like, you know, Greek yogurt, frozen Greek yogurt product that's super popular. Halo Top, you know, so many of those brands out there, Skinny Cow, that you don't have to be deprived. I mean, we should be like, again, making better choices. Or if you don't want to like give it up completely, is it something that you can cut way back on though? And, you know, have like once a week or something, know that it's not necessary every single day. But you know, if you want to have your Skinny Cow ice cream sandwich, like every single night after dinner, and that's just like that's your thing, go for it. We'll adjust and we'll fit that in if that's what's important to you.
When you and I talked, when I was your client, we talked about there are no bad foods. There are calorie light foods and calorie dense foods. And seeing that helped shift my mind about that, because I'm a dude that would love a cheeseburger, but then feel guilty after I ate the cheeseburger, like I just screwed up my diet. And we talked about like during football season, I'm a wings guy, but you would say, all right, you can still have your wings, but add some maybe carrots and hummus. And don't have 20 wings, have 10 wings, and then have carrots and hummus, and use that fiber to help fill up. What are some other approaches you would say to someone as they try to eat healthy as we come up towards football season?
Let's see. Usually, you know, having a snack before you go somewhere is always going to be an effective tool. Like if you're invited to somebody else's house to watch the game, you're bringing something. You can always bring the hummus and the veggies yourself so that you know there's a healthy option there for you to eat, but you can also have a healthy snack before you go, so you're not famished. And if you're not famished and in a more desperate state, you're just much more able to make better choices when it comes to food, right? Because you're not starving. So having a snack before you go, or having like a high protein, high fiber breakfast, you know, if you've got to leave to go to Tuscaloosa at like 9:30, you know, wake up, do your exercise in the morning, have your healthy, normal breakfast, and then, you know, go on about your day, but do the best you can there. But always bringing the healthy item to your gathering is such a wise choice. Healthy snack beforehand. Those are definitely the big ones. And especially like bringing a non-starchy vegetable, because that's nobody brings that. But now more people appreciate when you do bring something healthy. They're like, oh, good. Like, you know, some people really do want some of that. You know, also because you feel better after eating those healthy choices instead of like 20 wings. You know, you may not be feeling your absolute best, you know, but having a little bit of hummus and carrots in there, it's a little bit lighter fare. I think those are like definitely the big things. Drinking plenty of water too, just because it's hot and so easy to dehydrate here.
When you look at people and they say, I don't need a dietitian, I can do this on my own. Why would you say, no, you need someone like a dietitian in your life to help you on your weight loss journey?
Save you a lot of time and energy, like understanding things, you know, like a few sessions with a dietitian can save you years of like questioning what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong. And also so many people, I mean, just like with anything in life, you don't know what you don't know. So if you hire a professional, same thing as like decorating your house or going to the doctor, like you're getting a professional opinion. It's just going to help you solve the problem faster, or get help faster. And you just see people make like so many little mistakes or things, you know, on the internet that aren't completely correct, of course. You know, especially with like my patients that are hypertensive, it's like, they're trying to lose weight, but then some of these foods that they're eating are so high in sodium. They're like, oh, well, I thought this was like great. And it's like, well, yes, it's like low in calories, but that is such a high sodium food. Like we need to pivot to some other options. Or, you know, people trying to manage their blood sugar and not really understanding the fiber component of it. You know, they just like want to cut out all carbohydrates. It's not really necessary or appropriate. You know, actually fiber helps your blood sugar stay more steady over a longer period of time. So we want to include that. So there's just so many things that people miss, you know, and grocery store recommendations, it just kind of simplifies everything to speak with a professional. And it's fun. You know, you just, it's like going to a class that you want to like, want to learn stuff about. People, you know, they always just say they learn so much, and they appreciate it. And, you know, nobody ever regrets, meeting with a dietitian and getting that kind of help.
Speaking of meeting with a dietitian, how can someone get in contact with you? Or you said you post stuff on Facebook and Instagram. What can they do there to follow you?
Follow me at Lee Baxter Nutrition on Instagram. And I guess that's also how you find me on Facebook, Lee Baxter Nutrition.
L-E-E,
yes, like a boy. And then my website is LeeBaxterNutrition.com, L-E-E-B-A-X-T-E-R. And my phone number is 205-894-8374. You can give me a call, leave me a voicemail, and I'll call you back. You can put in to, like, request a session on my website, but I like to talk to people on the phone first and just talk about their goals and, you know, what they want to get out of nutrition counseling, before we schedule and just make sure it's a good fit.
They have to be willing to do what you say. They can't just come at it like, I'm just going to listen. They actually have to listen to you and apply the knowledge you give them. Correct?
Correct. For it to work. I mean, you can absolutely pay me and I'll talk to you and you don't have to do anything. But you know, the point of it is that you make the changes and then hopefully you go, you know, people are like, oh, you look great. Or you look like you feel great. What have you been doing? And then, you know, you spread the word. But yeah, so you absolutely want to apply and we set goals at every appointment. So it's, you know, I'm not just like leaving you in the dark. You have very clear instructions on what you're going to be doing until your next appointment.
Do you still have the app to help track their meals and activities? Do you still use that app?
I use MyFitnessPal and then my telehealth platform, Practice Better, has a journal. It's a little more free form. It has calorie counting features. It's just not as precise as MyFitnessPal, but it's more appropriate for patients like trying to track symptoms. And I like it in that it'll ask you, you know, what was your hunger level before your meal? What was your hunger level after your meal or your mood after your meal too? So like, it's a little bit more, mindful eating approach. You know, like were you stressed? Did you overeat? Were you starving? Did you overeat? Those kinds of things. So I have a couple different you know, different things are appropriate for different people, and that's what we talk about.
Are you saying you customize programs for each individual, that you don't have one size fits all programs for everyone?
Right. Right. Because everybody's different. And that's also why you pay per session. You know, I don't do packages because not everybody needs like six sessions, or, I mean, people definitely benefit from the accountability long term. You know, I have people that I meet with like monthly, you know, that just like that 30-minute check-in. But, you know, there's some people that they just need a few sessions to kind of get on track. They have a decent amount of nutrition knowledge coming in. They just need a little bit of direction, need some suggestions, and then they're good. So everybody's different with what they're addressing. You know, how much weight do you want to lose too? What other, you know, health conditions are we trying to manage, and teach you about as well? So
that's awesome. That was Lee Baxter of Lee Baxter Nutrition. Lee, like a boy, LeeBaxter, nutrition.com. Find her on Facebook, find her on Instagram. She is a great follow. Lots of help during football season with tailgate ideas and snacks for that. Very fun, great recipes. Lee, thank you very much for being the initial guest on Highway to Health.
Of course. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, thank you very much. And you've been listening to Highway to Health. I'm your host, David Sears, and we will see you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.